Connected live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Get into the book
on the POV Book Review.
Kaya959.
So thank you so much for staying with us. It's a Tuesday, as you know, and we look into books on a Tuesday. And today we are talking to none other than producer and actress who many, many of you are familiar with. And that is Salamina Musesi. She's been also a guest at Kai many times over. But she has written a book. It's a children's book. It's called Nao's Invisible Blanket. Salamina, welcome. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I have been anticipating our conversation.
It is such a sweet and accessible book. And I think when I say accessible, I mean it on different levels, because it's not just easy and palatable, but it also deals with issues that are sometimes very difficult to confront and to discuss, you know, between the adults and the children. And there is an ease to it, you know, where you bring in very difficult conversations and make them easy, digestible for children.
Oh, thank you. I think, you know, when one embarks on writing a book, especially a children's book, as an adult, I think so much of me has to access my inner child. And a lot of that requires me to go back to also some uncomfortable places for myself. Mm-hmm. And really what I was hoping to do with this book was really to spark conversations between parents, teachers, caregivers, siblings, mm-hmm. children, you know, about fear, about bravery, about that importance of believing in your own inner strength. And I really wanted to create something where, even as an adult or a child that you've just read it to, that people step away feeling a little braver, a little more empowered, a little lighter. And of course, you know, we play with imagination and this gift that is given to Nao by his sister. You know, and it's the gift of him imagining and discovering his courage that he's actually always had, but he just needed a tool in order to access it.
So, you know, the magic with children's books is obviously the language and the storytelling, but the illustration, I mean, is a big deal, you know, for children's books. And what a gorgeous, gorgeous, you know, piece of work that this illustrator, I think it's, you said it's Sibu, I think it's Sibu?
Shubhi Bosa, yes.
And, you know, I just felt, and there are elements where I was a bit surprised, right? So the blanket, which is a big discussion point in this book, was so beautifully captured. Nothing I would have imagined, by the way. But there was, you know, nothing I would have imagined, and everything I keep thinking, why wouldn't I have imagined it that way? You know what I'm saying?
You know, to be honest, I mean, I absolutely cannot take credit for that piece of brilliance. I think with picture books, really the magic is for the illustrator to fall as in love with the book as I, the writer. I give the words, and I needed somebody who would capture even the things that I cannot script, the things I cannot say. The reality is, my invisible blanket would look completely different to yours, would look completely different to Noah's, would look completely different to, you know, Chando's. And that's the beauty of it, right? And I think how he did it with the doodles, and it's so ethereal, it's but it's powerful. It feels playful, but it also, it feels magical.
The blanket blew me away completely. I mean, that's the blanket blew me away. So Salamina, your journey into writing, particularly for children, where did that come from?
You know, it started during lockdown. I'll be honest, I was in a complete panic about what's next. You know, we had just had to stop production. I was actually, had just given birth. And I was searching. I was searching for that thing that I could put out there that is my soul, my life, right? But without me needing to be there physically. I think at the time, all of us as creatives were just asking ourselves, especially creatives where, you know, you have to be on set to do what we do. Maybe, you know, with radio broadcasters, it's slightly different. I noticed a lot, you know, people were broadcasting from home, etc. So the show kind of continued if you were able to work remotely. But for me, I had never done anything where I could work remotely. And the writing thing is something I've always wanted to do. I've been a bookworm my whole life. I've loved books. And, you know, my journey into motherhood, having our firstborn, she's now 14.
Wow.
But of course, you know, the journey of having to travel with, you know, the representation conversation, the what is she interacting media-wise. You know, she was obsessed with Elsa, and I, you know, I had to stop wearing weave because she only thought me beautiful when I had... You know, hair that wasn't my own. So it's all these conversations. And I think what it was birthing was this need for me to start also. And I say also because I'm, of course, not the only author doing...
feeding her mind.
Writing stories.
Yeah.
And putting out our perspective out there. And I just wanted to be a part of that narrative, to contribute where Lebohang Masango came with Mbumi's Magic Beads, where the Rifilwes have come with How Many Ways to Say Hello.
Yeah.
There's so many, you know, Rifilwe Mudisele's book right now, you know, Through My Vanilla Eyes, all of these stories, it's all, you know, perspective, it's brown-skinned girls, it's, you know, moms, teachers, psychologists, there's teen books, it's all of it. So that is what informed my journey. It was just asking myself, have I put anything out there that my own children can look at and think, wow, that's another perspective. My mom did that. And then the next person, and so on and so forth.
And
so my first book came out, actually, in 2022.
Yeah, I remember.
And I followed that up with the second one, Cook Off at Gogo's Plaza, in 2024. And then this, Newa's Invisible Blanket, is my first foray into the picture book, which is for younger readers.
And what has all of this done for you as the writer?
Gosh, you know, it fed me in places I didn't know I needed to be fed. I find the children book space is so, it's such a happy space for me. You know, we can talk ad nauseum about how long it takes to see the bottom line. But really, for me at this point in time, I'm not even looking at it as a business venture. I'm looking at it as my own brand of activism. I'm looking at it as, you know, contributing to the narrative, the representation conversation, the changing the narrative, the creating characters for children that look like them, that feel like them, that sound like them. It's telling our stories in our way. And that's really what it has done for me. I think it's also helped me to connect with the fun part of my personality. You know, I grew up on kids' TV.
Yeah, of course.
Like gone right back to it. You know, I remember the days when we were kids' TV presenters and we'd be at the Rancho and we'd be reading for kids at our crazy stand. And parents would be enjoying, you know, shopping around while they leave their kids with us. I've gone back to all of that.
Yeah.
Now I'm Auntie Salamina, and I love reading to the kids. It's literally the most fun I've had in a really, really long time. So I am reveling in it and really, really just learning a lot as well. I think it's completely different part of myself that I've had to access. I've been entrepreneurial for the past 10 years with Sorrel Media doing the film thing. And this is like completely different for me. Hubby is writing songs again. I haven't been able to convince him to get back into the studio until I release a book. And then he releases a song and I'm like, okay, this is a whole new thing for both of us.
You know, there is something, again, we're going to use that word magical with this, in the sense that you've managed, number one, it's a very universal story. So the story and the themes are very universal. But at the same time, it's also a very South African story. I think South Africans have a particular type of anxiety that obviously also translates into children that, and I'm not saying other nations don't have issues, but I'm just saying that there was something quite us about the story that I think so many of us will relate with. And I'm just, you know, I was wondering to what extent were you very intentional about us also, even as adults reading to the child, you know, also confronting our own fears, our own demons, our own anxieties as South Africans?
You know, I mean, just thinking about even the 16 days of activism campaign about ending digital violence, ending all forms of violence against women and girls, you know, I played with something very intentional, even with who introduces this concept of feeling brave inside yourself. It had to be Newo's older sister.
Yes.
And with that, I'm saying that strength doesn't have to look masculine or look in one type or be one kind of strength, right? Thandi represents for Newo that EQ, that emotional intelligence that we all need. She is his pillar. She is the voice inside of his head when he doesn't have a voice. You know, so for me, it's just to say that our voices online, our voices in media, in the things we create, have impact. And it's going to take us creating safe spaces for both boys and girls, for women and men, on and offline, for us to be able to say we're truly using storytelling and media to build empathy, to encourage respect in how we interact with each other. So in a children's book, you really have to introduce it softly. You know, I'm not slapping anything hard onto it, but these themes are there. There's a reason why I wanted Newo to specifically say, I want to be brave like my sister, Thandi.
Mm-hmm.
Thandi who climbed trees where Newo is fearful to climb the trees. You know, so it's all of those things and more. And it's really to show that bravery looks different. But also that we don't need to be scared to be fearful, and that we can do all these things still being scared.
And I was going to point to that of course, you know, I loved the fact that it was the girl character that was brave and bold and all of that and solution driven. But I also think that we don't discuss enough the difficulties that boys have in navigating spaces where they're not necessarily what they conjured up to be. They're not that brave, feisty, and parents struggle, society struggles to handle a child that's a little bit softer, a little bit more afraid, who's a boy, because what are you talking about? Whose son are you, kind of thing? And I thought that was very elegantly illustrated in that sense.
Thank you. I'm so glad you picked that up. I think for me, it was to show that confidence looks different. For boys and for girls.
Yeah.
You know, and really also this play on this metaphor of the blanket. It's to show that even a boy now needs to feel safe.
Absolutely.
Needs to feel like he belongs. Needs to feel loved. I think every child has that thing that gives them comfort, that helps them to feel brave. So I wanted this whole play on the imagination to give children a language for emotions they can't yet explain. And I think a lot of the spaces that we've created in society don't allow for the boy child or for men to feel like they are allowed to say, I'm scared.
And I'm vulnerable.
I'm afraid. I don't feel confident.
Yeah.
I want to approach that group of boys playing soccer.
Yeah.
Am I going to get laughed at? Yeah. Like, these are so real, real things for young people. But we know, even as adults, sometimes introducing yourself into new spaces, you don't know whether you are going to be, you know, welcomed with authenticity. You know, do you have to put on a brave face to step into certain spaces? So Newo's fears felt familiar to me, that sense of being small in a big, sometimes overwhelming world. I wanted to create a story that reassures young and old.
And that he's also beautiful.
Doesn't mean the absence of fear.
Yeah, and that he, you know, in his vulnerability, it's also a beautiful child. I loved how you ended the story, and my question to you, therefore, is that I get the feeling that you're a glass half full kind of person. Is that your lens when it comes to what we're all going through at the moment?
You know, I think I fight very hard to be. I think a lot of the times, Pamela, I'll be very honest, I find myself completely overwhelmed by the amount of pain that we are seeing around us. And I really just want to be a part of showing people light. I think I've walked through most of my life probably a glass half empty kind of person. And then you wake up one day and you realize that that negativity no longer serves you. So there's so much that I have had to shirk as well to stay in a lighter place so that I can be lighter for my kids, so that we can create the kind of environment at home that feeds them and edifies them. Because I think they step out into the world and that strips them enough. So there needs to be less of that at home. And there needs to be less of that even for us, for ourselves. So I've also been going through a whole shredding and a stripping of different things that I thought and felt that I needed for myself. So I think to answer your question, I am becoming a glass half full kind of girl, but it's also been a journey for me. And I think in different ways, in the friends that you choose, in the way you curate your social media, in the way I check what I read, and sometimes I really have to turn the news off. I want to stay informed, but sometimes it just feels to me so, so heavy. So I step away a bit and then I come back when I've filled my cup a bit. That's the long and short of saying it.
It's a beautiful book. It's a beautiful book to look at. It's a beautiful book to read. But most importantly, it's a thoughtful book. And I think more than anything right now, that's exactly what we need. Thank you. Thank you for penning this and for putting yourself out there in that way.
Thank you. Thank you so much for receiving it in the way that you received it. And I really, really do appreciate this interview and just, getting the word out there about this new book. I really do appreciate it.
The book is called Now's Invisible Blanket. It's by Salamina Musesi, and it is most definitely available at all bookstores.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.